Welcome to
Got Your Milk!
FX is the Strange Podcast. My name's Bubba, and with me the way it was meant to be.
Yep.
With me is Mork. Mork, how are you doing on this end of August evening?
Oh man, I'm a little nervous. I'm a little scared. I'm a little excited.
Yeah. Oh my goodness gracious.
There's a lot going on. How are you, Bubba?
I am a bit beside myself because I think we actually have seen a relatively good episode of The Strain.
This was a lot of fun. Yeah, absolutely. It was a lot of fun.
So, listeners, we are going to be breaking down Season 2, Episode 8, entitled Intruders.
Ooh.
Of FX's Strain. Because we have not read the books, we
nope.
will not spoil anything past this episode. We're going to guess what might be past this episode, but we haven't read the books. We don't know.
Still don't know.
Mork, we begin every episode by giving the rating out of 10. It can be 10 UV lights if it's good. It can be 10 tongue worms if it was a terrible episode. I've already shown my cards that
yes.
I personally think this was one of our better episodes of The Strain. But you always get to go first. What out of 10 are you going to give this episode, Intruders?
I'm going to give it a very, very strong 9.
Whoa!
Broken homes.
Oh, wow.
For intruders, yeah. How
about man, you? That is really high. Well, before I give mine, gosh, I thought I was going to go high. 9 is great.
Well, you know.
So how did it earn, I think more fun. How did it earn such a high rating?
Oh, the end. It actually built to something, and the scene was great, and I wasn't sure, you know, which one of our underrated actors was possibly gonna, you know, eat it.
Oh wow, that is exactly what I'm gonna get to when I talk about great scenes.
Spoiler
in the episode.
Alert! But,
all right, so for me, I'm gonna give this, 8. Only 8 out of 10.
Man.
Only 8 out of 10.
8 what?
8, what I like to call double E's out of 10.
Oh, boy. Now, wait a minute.
Double E's. Double E is a phrase I use when I have to refer to I-Corst eulogies. So, as he was giving that great eulogy to the priest.
Sure.
You know, about, do you feel the worms going through you? Now it's a Mexican I-Corst.
Yeah, it's okay. Well,
but it was 8 out of 10. This show wants to be tense. This show wants to be fun. It wants to do all these things. And God bless it, I don't think it always is that way. In fact, I think it rarely reaches the tension of the scene at the end, which was good scene.
Yeah, no, it was great. And look, to be fair, you also want to be tense. And
right, yes.
You want to be gripping and dramatic and
I
fun
do.
And scary. And, you know, look, I've known you for a little while now.
Right.
You know, you're batting
average.
Not
always.
It doesn't always happen.
Right.
But you try, and that's the important
try.
Thing.
I try. So let's get to it. Let's get to our UV light scenes and spoiled milk scenes.
Yes.
And I'm going to go ahead and just get to it. And I've already said it. That scene at the end, to me at least, it was tense. Now, I should be removing some points from this episode.
Yes.
Because the one thing the episode wants to do is always kind of leave everybody in the same way. When you have I-Corst there in the exact same room with Satrakian and Fett, either one of them should be infected or I-Corst should be killed. But of course, we can't have that happen. So they, you know, I-Corst, when he needs to have superhuman strength and escapability and dodge bullets, he can, and so he gets away.
Yeah.
Similarly, at the end, they don't want Zach to be turned or kidnapped by Kelly. They don't want Nora or F to die. So in the end, you know, all our major characters are relatively in the same place, but it didn't cut off the fact. Like it cut off that Strigoi's tongue worm.
Right.
They didn't cut off the fact that it was tense and that I was like, oh my God, this could be exciting and thrilling. And so that is my UV light scene of the week. How about you?
Now, I wasn't clear if it just, you were talking about two scenes. You didn't like the one in the church with I-Corst.
No,
is that what you're telling
I
me, big
guy?
I
did not like that one so much. But as far as, it wasn't tense to me. It wasn't, you know, it was so brief, I suppose. I can't even call it much of a showdown between the two heroes and I-Corst.
I think for
so
me...
So I loved the end scene. That was my UV light scene. How about you?
No. I totally agree with you. The last scene was the best scene. I got to say, the scene I did not care for was the opening scene with the, you know, sort of the Kelly makeover with our man Eichhorst.
Right.
This, I think it'd be a fun scene if these were still kind of actual people. And
I think you're hitting the exact right point.
Eichhorst, you know, he missed out on not being the host, and so, you know, you feel for him a little bit, but Kelly is basically just a tool. And
formerly lovely Kelly.
Yes.
Do you think Eichhorst would make a good host for America's Next Top Model? He's like, is this your color?
He's got
this eye is perfect for you. I knew
He may actually be more poor man's Tim Gunn than poor man's Christoph Waltz. So no, that is you definitely hit it right on the head.
So that scene. Boy, this actress Natalie Brown is so beautiful, and she has to wear this ugly makeup. So when she got into the formerly beautiful Kelly look, lovely Kelly look, I was happy for it. But it's still, you know, it's just a tease. It's just something.
So to speak.
And this story about her desire for Zach, I'm so confused. Does the master want Zach? Or does the master want to get it F? Because theoretically, Kelly could have tongue-wormed F and it would have been over.
Yeah, that's why I'm confused. Because I don't know why they want... I don't know why they want Zach other than to lure F. And
right, but
that
then
was
why not
chance.
Just kill F?
Yeah. Why not send... They know where they... Why not send 500 little gremlins to the safe house?
By the way,
they're completely alone. Dutch is helping Nikki move.
Dutch is taking a couple episodes off here.
What's going on? Lazy bones. She's getting a little lazy.
All right, so can I go to my... UV light scene. I'm sorry, my spilt milk, my spoiled milk scene of the week. And there were a couple, there weren't that many, but God was a reoccurring theme in this episode. Mm-hmm. So we had Eichhorst taunting the cardinal. Then we had a Jewish Satrakian leading the cardinal to his death. But my least favorite scene was Gus and the Silver Angel driving out to the restaurant supply store, and then, there's no restaurant supply. So, therefore, the Tandoori Palace has to close, and the family has to run. I mean, the Silver Angel, I believe, and once again, I have not read the books. You have not read the books.
No.
But I've heard from people like, Silver Angel's like a great character in the book. Mm-hmm. But on the show, he's done nothing, and he's pointless.
It's a slow burn.
And boy... Slow burn.
Let me tell you something.
If this is a slow burn, you know that when you order a dish at the Tandoori Palace, it's going to take forever.
Because it takes
five episodes to cook,
leave
for God's
the guy
sakes.
Alone. He's got a broken knee, for God's sake. You know, give him time. You know, he's not... Gus is young and in shape and
he
can
is.
Zip around.
Don't get me started on Gus.
Silver Angel, he needs to take his time. What I find amusing is Silver Angel does kind of look like... what's his name? Or Bardu? Our boy
Sardu.
There's a resemblance. So we're gonna
break down this entire episode minus some things with Bork has his infamous skip, which people on Twitter have been writing that they love.
I mean, look, let's focus on the good stuff.
The good stuff. Amen.
Certain things we can skip. We'll address it, but we'll quickly move on.
But before we begin, we always want to give a shout out to Strigoi Team 7, and the way you can be a member of Strigoi Team 7 is to give us an iTunes written review, or write us a review on iTunes, or tweet at us with hashtag GotYourMilk /GotYourMilkPodcast. And we have two new reviews this week, Mork.
Oh, man.
Why don't you read the first one there?
I will read the first one. Gosh, this is from Ernst Seven, which is actually Dutch.
Oh, hey, Dutch.
Not the actress Dutch, it's Dutch.
Sure.
For Dutch.
Sure.
The best. Wow.
Oh, thank you.
5 stars.
Thank you so much.
This podcast is the only reason I watch the TV show.
Uh-oh.
Let's all hope that the TV show lasts for years. I will listen to all of their podcasts. Well, I appreciate that. We're very grateful. But do we want the TV show to last for years is the big question.
Oh, boy. Yeah. And let me say, listeners, it is very flattering when we hear you say that you watch the TV show because you enjoy this podcast. But that also can make us feel a bit guilty. You know, the show is an hour of your life, then our podcast tends to be about an hour of your life.
We're basically enablers.
Yes, we are enablers for when there is spoiled milk seeds. We are forcing you to suffer with it. So thank you very much, Ernst Seven. Our next brand new review, our next new member, in addition to Ernst Seven, into Sturgoy Team 7,
is
from Delilah. Is that how you would say it?
Bedelia.
Bedelia.
Like
okay.
Amelia Bedelia.
No, I think you're right. It's Bedelia. From Bedelia du Marais?
Bedelia du Marais.
Bedelia du Marais. Who calls, titled her review, Wacky Fun. Five stars. Thank you so very much.
I think we're more silly fun than wacky fun. But thank you, Bedelia.
Thank you. I believe it's a she. She writes, I love your podcast. You guys are so entertaining, even when you are critical about the show.
What?
It is all good-natured humor. And, you know, let's pretend that's true.
Fair enough.
You always manage to bring up points that I somehow missed, and your theories are creative and interesting. I love the madcap aspect of your offering. Don't even get me started on the impressions. Well, I tried to get started on impressions, and I made I-Corsed. From South America somehow.
My impressions
have been suffering, I think, because...
You're out of practice.
I'm out of practice, and they...
We're having a special all-impression episode at some point this season.
Right, and they're also just... There's so many characters now in the show that they kind of blend together. I start off doing Satrakia, then suddenly the next thing you know, I'm doing Dutch.
But to be fair, I-Corsed was a Nazi. A lot of Nazis went through South America. So,
those evil Nazis.
You know.
Right.
It's all good.
All right. Now, you can also be a great member of Sturgoy Team 7 by tweeting at us with hashtag GotYourMilk or GotYourMilkPodcast. I showed you how easy it was to do today.
When
I put out a tweet where I said, when I said the mother formerly known as Lovely Kelly had junk in her trunk, I didn't mean Sturgoy.
Shaboom!
That was part of the wacky part of the...
I don't actually know what that means.
Yeah, thank God. No one should know what that means.
I need a pencil.
All right.
I need a protractor.
Uh-oh.
I need some graph paper.
Here we go.
I need some whiteout.
But we also have, and let me tell you, it feels like these people want to be president of the Sturgoy Team 7. And that's
vicious.
That's our good friend Romy134, who's at The Kindly Boy.
Make Sturgoy Team 7 great again.
He said, as far as pairings go, nothing beats Fett and Abe. That could be a spinoff. Hashtag got your milk. And Fett and Abe are pretty darn good.
They're fantastic.
When Abe, spoiler alert, when Abe was like, you know,
get your head out of your skirt.
Get your head out of your skirt.
I would like to nominate Abe Satrakian for my children's health teacher. I would like Satrakian to give them the talk so I don't have to.
Yes, I would too. And then we also have the other presidents of Sturgoy Team 7 have to be our great friends at the podcast Geek Girl Soup. They do so many. They do better tweets than we do. We're trying to write notes about the episode, and they are just tweeting up a storm. So everybody, please download and listen to Geek Girl Soup podcast, and also follow them on Twitter because they are hilarious on their tweets. What you got? You got any favorites in the ones they sent this week, Mork?
I believe very early on in the show.
Yeah.
It was very funny. There's a fundraiser tonight. Sounds like another opportunity for a vampire feeding frenzy.
Oh yeah.
Hashtag the strain.
Yeah, definitely. I also loved, you know, they're tough they're tough as we are too. And they said, when poor man's Christoph Waltz, and on Twitter you got to save characters, so they just called him PMCW.
Yeah.
When he teaches Kelly how to be human again, they thought that was cute, Mork. They didn't hate it like you did.
Well, I don't know. I spend a lot of time getting ready in front of the mirror every day, probably about 2.5-3 hours. So it just cut a little too close to home for me.
Yeah, speaking of too close to home, Geek Girl Soup also said, they said, go home, Coco, or join the good guys. Now, Coco, as long as Coco wears some of those outfits she was wearing today, hello, basic cable sexual situations.
Sexual situations, yummy, Coco. Indeed. Mm. Should there be a new basic cable warning sign for seeing Palmer and Coco in bed together? I mean, it's beyond sexual situations. They didn't give us one of those.
They have SS for sexual situations. They could have triple C at the beginning of the episode.
Senior, citizen, sex.
Oh, that's senior with a C. Okay, fine. I was thinking. I was thinking crusty old man cuddles Coco.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, it's Coco's beautiful, but actually she looks a bit like I do in the morning.
In the morning,
kind of like
yeah. No, I often when I spend the night with Eldridge Palmer,
right? Yeah,
I usually don't look that good.
No, it won it.
I'm not gonna lie.
Now a lot of people are going off our good friend Catfish, who's not here tonight. He mm-hmm. literally drove up. It took him 12 hours to drive to the Burning Man Festival, and he'll be there the next 2 weeks.
So God bless.
So it's just us listeners. You're going to have to tweet at hashtag got your milk to fill in the points that Catfish would be making.
Yes.
But, you know, Catfish is creeped out by this. How do you think he would have reacted in some of these good times in the bed?
I think
scenes?
We probably would have had to pause it and hold him a little bit because, yeah, he is convinced.
Convinced.
Absolutely convinced. He swears by it. That Coco has an ulterior motive.
I hope, dear Lord, that Palmer wore protection.
Well, for who? For him or for her?
For all of us.
Yeah, that's
for
fair
me,
enough.
To be honest.
Now,
listeners, I apologize for being such a lonely bachelor and always drooling over Mother, formerly known as Lovely Kelly, and Coco. But this,
well, you haven't had reason to drool over her in a while. It's been, you should apologize for drooling over her when she was in full Strigoi zone. But
all right, so I feel like Satrakian should tell me to get my head out of there, get your head out of the skirts, and think about the show.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
And we keep learning new things. Now
we do.
Now, as we break down this episode,
oh, hang on,
which we
sorry.
Gave high ratings.
I'm just
to.
Getting
yeah,
a
what's
text.
Up, Mark?
I'm just getting a text from my friend Jimmy Woo.
How's Jimmy Woo doing?
Oh, he's doing really, really well. He's a great guy. He's a big part of everything that goes on in Brooklyn and Red right. Hook. And if you need something,
right now,
go to Jimmy Woo.
Now, let me ask you something, Mark. We've been dealing with these Strigois for a week, and we know somebody who happens to deal with firearms.
Yeah.
Should we have brought him up or thought about contacting him at any time before now?
Well, you know, we've got some machetes.
Right. Who needs firearms?
We've got a bread truck. I think we're good. I think we're pretty good.
We're great. Oh, my God. That,
you know
that
really
is like
need.
An eye roll. When it's suddenly like, hey, do you know anybody who could get us a rifle? How is that just now coming up? Like, what is...
Well, the thing is, I think we had a missed opportunity this episode to have all of our worlds collide. So
we had
it at the church at the Cardinal's house where mm-hmm. you know we had Ike Horst and Fett and our favorite old man.
Well, what?
But also at Jimmy Woo's. How come Jimmy Woo he sells guns, hospital supplies?
Right.
He can't handle a little cilantro.
Well, yeah.
On top of that, how come he's not a restaurant supplier?
He also sells boats, and we want to escape this. Quarantine, get on a friggin' boat.
Right, yeah. So I would have liked to have seen Gus and what's his name? Silver Angel.
Yeah, Silver Angel, right.
Meeting up with Fett and Satrakian and F and, you know, could have been a what do they call it? A Lollapalooza.
It could have been. So the episode begins. Why don't we follow Ike Horst? Because he kind of almost was in every world that collided today. Now,
true.
Ike Horst, as we learned, he should be the the host of Next Top Model / What Not to Wear. But we also found out from Coco that he smells a bit. So
he smells like what? Dead fish?
Yeah, that's not cool, Coco. Not cool.
I mean, yeah, that was a little below the belt.
You know, sometimes Austrians, let's just be honest, stink.
That thank you someone finally had to say it. And this is also a this is a key. I think this is important for anybody listening, for any mm-hmm. of our listeners. We have a lot of big corporate movers and shakers,
right?
A lot of backstabbing and mm-hmm. Maneuvering going on. So if a new friend of yours claims that your business partner smells like dead fish,
right?
They're trying to pull something.
I love how you refer to Coco as a new friend. How about if you're if you're one third your age sexual partner?
Yeah, well, hopefully that's a friend,
right?
No,
is totally saying that she doesn't like your partner and she wants to. You know, Mr. Palmer. So he kind of bleeds into these stories. So Mr. Palmer, he drives me a bit crazy in that, admittedly, he's never had a long-term relationship. He's never had a short-term relationship. So he doesn't know the golden rule that you don't keep insulting, putting down, and dismissing the concerns of your lover.
Right.
You know, he just doesn't care. He's like, whatevs.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not going to tell you nothing.
I've been lucky enough to wake up next to a grown woman from time to time. And I make sure that before they wake up, I'm sitting at my desk with my typewriter, ready to type down all of their demands for how we're going to move forward. I'm ready to go.
Now, Palmer didn't seem to care. Hold on. Have you ever had, Mork,
once on vacation.
When you woke up in with an adult woman in your bed, has she ever said to you, Bubba smells funny.
Like dead fish.
Right. She ever said to you, what is your relationship with him? Now, are you honest? Like, hey, I do a podcast with him.
So, or do you what you'll notice is the cinematography in this scene it's just the natural light. It's
Do you tell her, the shadow. Listen, Mark, do you sometimes tell her, you know what? When things are going bad, sometimes you have to work with bad people.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That is exactly right.
All right. So Mr. Palmer, he and Coco have gotten out of bed, and he's meeting with the Cardinal.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, Eichhorst just walks in. Apparently, the elevator doesn't ding when somebody gets there. You could just get in via surprise.
Yeah.
And Eichhorst kind of scares the Cardinal. He's not happy with it. And so Eichhorst is like, what are you trying to buy, Palmer?
Exactly.
And so, Mork, this was a question I asked during the episode. I think you need to say it again for our listeners. Because I'm a bit like... So Palmer hasn't told the master that he's looking for the book, or Palmer was looking for the book for the master? I'm so confused.
Well, I think that just Palmer has got some tricks up his sleeve. You know, he had the UV trap.
Right. Ooh, that was
in the
great.
Office. That could
hurt. That was really good.
That could hurt PMCW.
Yeah.
Or PMTG. Sorry, Geek Girl Soup, but we may need to make it PMTG. Palmer is a corporate raider. He's a big boy, and maybe he's just using the master, and he's gonna use the book against the master when it comes time to move him out.
Yeah, and so one of the things Eichhorst really does, which in front of Coco was not cool. He's like, everything that transpires in this office is my business. And Coco hears that. And then Palmer's like, Coco, will you give us some privacy? And she's like, are you sure? She's standing up for her man. Stand by your man.
Thank you.
And he is snippy. He's like, yes.
Yeah.
And then Eichhorst is like, I believe you've hurt her feelings. I don't think Palmer noticed that. He didn't give a shit.
Right. No, well, he's Palmer's a tough guy.
Total tough guy.
Eichhorst, I don't even want to think about when the last time Eichhorst woke up next to someone as lovely as Coco.
when you become a Strigoi and your junk falls out like Bolivar's did in the toilet, I don't think you have any, even though, you can go to a beautiful Strigoi like Kelly and not have any feelings downstairs.
Speak for yourself.
No, I'm talking about
poor man's Christoph.
Well, he doesn't have any genitalia, so why is he going
to... It's, you and your genitalia. It always comes back to genitalia. Let me tell you something.
Yes?
What about the heart? What about the heart?
Apparently Palmer doesn't have any, because he doesn't care about Coco's feelings.
Right.
And so there's this, because Palmer just gets snippy here. This is how I wrote it in my notes. He gets snippy. He's like, I haven't seen Bolivar recently. What's happened to your man Bolivar? And poor man's Christoph Waltz, Eichhorst, is like, well, he's become the new vessel for the master. And then Palmer's like, oh, I thought it would have been a trusted aid. You know, Palmer is really...
He's twisting the knife.
You know, he's being a mean girl right now.
Yeah, a little bit. He's got definitely a little Rachel McAdams in him right now.
And so this isn't the first time that we're supposed... That kind of, Eichhorst, her feelings have come up. Are we supposed to believe that Eichhorst actually does have hurt feelings, that he wasn't chosen to be the new vessel for the master?
Well, I think he does. I think he wanted it really bad. Now, why? Because it would basically mean no more
him.
No more immortality.
Right.
I don't know. But, he's certainly, it stings a little bit. But, maybe the master's keeping him on ice for the next one.
And now... So do you think Bolivar's totally wiped? Like, there's no Bolivar soul anymore, any personality.
Well, as a loyal fan, I've been to every single Bolivar concert there is. I hate to say this, but yeah, no, I think he's
because if the master can see through everybody's eyes, when Palmer comes up and he's like, "Wow, the master chose a washed-up pop star." If there's any bit of Bolivar still in the master, he's like, "Hey,
he's gonna bring him back."
Right? He's like, "Hey, my career was okay. I was good. I had a great album comeback plan."
Well, let's just jump to my skip scene. Of the week.
Oh, you're skipsy.
Yeah. So when the master, now inhabiting Bolivar's body,
Bolivar body.
Thank you. Goes to audition for the off-Broadway show of Rock of Ages. I get it. But I think it was a bit of a detour. I don't think we need it. And let's just skip it. Let's not even talk about that scene.
You know, listeners, I want you, once again, if you've read the books and know any spoilers, I don't want you to spoil us, but please tweet at us and tell us if you think at a certain point this quote-unquote jealousy of Bolivar by Eichhorst is going to pay off in this story at all. The way you can tweet at me, Bubba, is on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter. Or
Extraordinary. It's extraordinary, but give me a W in front of the R at the end. Thank you.
Heck yeah. So the next time we see Eichhorst, he is broken into the Cardinal's residence. And the Cardinal, he apparently just kind of has one bodyguard.
Yeah.
You know, like he is his eminence.
Well, there's not that much going on in New York City.
His eminence, he's like, Nicholas? Where's Nicholas?
St. Nicholas.
Nicholas.
It's Santa Claus.
Oh, he's calling for Santa. Ho, ho, ho. Hey, Cardinal. I know what you want for Christmas. The Okado Lumen.
You know, I hate to bring this up, and I'm only going to bring it up because we're several months away from Christmas time. So
it's the Okado Lumen in your stocking.
All of the young listeners listening, I will probably forget this before December rolls around. But there is a real resemblance to the original Master and Santa Claus.
Oh.
That's all I'm going to say.
Sardou brings presents every...
They both, neither of them do well in the daylight.
Now, are we supposed to take it? Now, Eichhorst, let's be honest, he's an atheist. He's dissing Jesus. He's like, oh, this is what our God does to his only son. Ouch. But then he's also, he's like, oh, call your God, see what your God has to you. Eichhorst, really, really upsetting the Christian right.
Yes, yes.
Really doing it. And then, but what it's also is, are we supposed to take the Cardinal as a character as being anti-religious? Because he comes in, he's like, that's not enough money to Palmer. Palmer's like, 500,000. Then Satrakian and Fett come in, he's like, 750,000. Then Eichhorst shows up, he's like, it's a million. Yeah. Like, what do you think the next price is? Obviously 125.
Look, when there's blood on the streets.
1,250,000. Okay,
there's blood on the streets, buy land. So that's all that's going on here. He could be trying to open up a new orphanage, trying to open up, there was a school for the blind
that had to shut
down because a lot of the kids went missing somehow. They're trying to maybe raise money for that.
All the kids are missing.
There's other blind kids. There's a waiting list.
Oh, okay, I see.
I mean, that school is so good that kids are pretending to be blind to get in.
Now, one of the things that I asked you during the show, Mork, is I'm like, well, the master can kind of read everybody's mind. He can see through their eyes.
Yeah.
So why don't they just turn the Cardinal? Then they'll know where the Okado Lumen is.
Yeah.
And sure enough, even though we had to diss our Lord and Savior God a lot.
Yes.
Finally, he turned the Cardinal, and he made the Cardinal infected with worms.
Hey, from your lips to
from his tongue worm to the Cardinal's throat.
Well, you said it first. You said it first. So
I was like, why don't they just do this? Then they'll know where the Okado Lumen is. Excuse me.
Yeah.
And so he did it, and yet he still is just standing over there. You know, Eichhorst could have left that. You know, it's like, once you turn, you'll tell us.
Right.
But instead, I'm still going to trash talk.
Sure.
Eichhorst is pulling a T.O. Remember when T.O. scored the touchdown, then ran to the 50-yard line to spike the ball on the Dallas Cowboy star?
Yes, I do.
This is, oh my God.
Yeah.
And so, of course, another thing that I said during the show is, well, okay, they're going to steal the Okado Lumen. In this case, I meant Satrakian and Fett. And I was like, why did they wait till night? You know, what's going on here? Why...
That is a great point. That is a great point. I don't know why they waited so long. Right. I can tell you, I think one of the reasons why, and this is why PMTG stuck around.
Gunn, yeah.
I mean, the Cardinals got some nice clothes.
Oh, you thought
so? You know, like, why not go through the guy's closets a little bit, see what else he has?
Right.
I mean, if you're at this point in this whole charade, you know, if you're I-Corst, why just stick to a suit? Why not have some fun? Dress up a little bit. You know, enjoy yourself.
Right. Put on a Cardinal hat.
Put on a Cardinal hat. You could be a cowboy. You could do whatever you want.
So, for stupid reasons that the show does, Satrakian and Fett didn't decide to steal it until late at night. And they didn't even know if he had it. And, of course, we find out as the Cardinal is being blessed by this Jewish man, Satrakian, we find out that, sure enough, the Cardinal didn't have it. But because he doesn't want it to fall into the Master's hands. Now, how has the Cardinal even heard who the Master is, for God's sakes?
So,
I don't want it to fall into the Master's hand. The person who has the Akado Lumen is, of course, Rudyard Fonescue.
Fonescue.
I think it's Fonescue, sure.
I don't even know. Coco. I think it's Rudyard Coco.
It's
all starting to fit together for
me. So, Mork, let me ask you a question.
Please do.
Do you think the Akado Lumen
is
a good MacGuffin, or when they discover it, is it going to be nothing? Is it going to be like... off the Master's head. Oh, thank God we found this ancient text that explains us how to kill the Master.
It's a pamphlet.
Remove Master's head.
Remove Master's head. Destroy him. No, I'm hoping that there's something. I'm just hoping there's something hidden inside, like in
National Treasure movie.
Yeah, oh, like okay. Something like a little shovel.
Oh,
a
Shawshank.
A little flask.
Okay, all right.
That's all. That's what I'd like to see.
And so that's it. So let's see if we can get this straight. So,
sure.
I'm just trying to see if I can get it straight in my head. So Satrakian wants the Akado Lumen.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want it for himself. He wants it for the Ancient Ones so they can kill the Master. How do the Ancient Ones not know how to kill the Master?
I thought there was a spell.
That could be, sure.
Yeah, I thought there was a spell in the book that they could sort of, incantation.
Oh, and then they wouldn't even have to be near the Master. They could just say the spell and he'd die.
Or on his birthday or whatever. They'd see him at the Cheesecake Factory.
And then, wait a minute, how does anybody, if the Master's been alive all this time, and he has been, he's been alive for centuries, how is it written in a book of how to kill him? You know, nobody has killed him.
Not for a while. I mean, I don't know. What's interesting is at this point, we have sunlight, we have silver, we have infrared.
I know.
We have the Akado Lumen.
Sure.
We have
Strabone.
Strabone
wants to
Quinlan.
Kill him. Yeah, Quinlan.
You know, so we've got all these different ways to kill him, but no one's really... taking the initiative here. So
no, I would hope that somebody would get on the initiative. So that's it for I-Corst. Is I-Corst still scary? Does I-Corst still scare you because he's supposed to be a scary figure? Like when you see I-Corst, do you go, oh? Or is he become, because he can't, quote unquote, unless something happens in the books, he can't kill any of our heroes.
Yeah, he's on too tight of a leash right now.
So, I haven't really seen him be disappointed or upset that he wasn't the Master. It's kind of, who knows what's going on.
Yeah, no, I think he's on too tight of a leash. But, there have been some fun scenes in his apartment where he's got the special room.
Oh, right. Maybe, I want to see that.
Maybe see a little bit more of that.
Let's see a little more.
He's got to have some downtime. You know?
All right. And speaking of downtime, the Silver Angel has had nothing but downtime this whole episode. So there is this discussion and I love that they were speaking not in English. So the Silver Angel, if he's Mexican,
so
I'm going to assume that he's speaking Spanish here.
Sure.
I like that Gus is talking to him in Spanish because that's the way wood people talk. You know, like it's strange when they go back to ancient Germany in World War II, they speak English and stuff.
Right.
Or did they do subtitles on that? I can't remember the whole way through.
Yeah, no, they did some subtitles.
Yeah, I think this is good.
I mean, it was weird that they were speaking Spanish, but yeah, they did subtitles.
And so the Silver Angel and Gus, theoretically what's been been happening between them is that the Silver Angel hates gangbangers and people with tattoos, but I guess he realizes that now Gus loves the Guptas who run the Tandoori Palace. And so they're kind of having a discussion about, hey, should the family, the Guptas who own the Tandoori Palace, just get the F out of D?
Sure. And here's my question for you. We understand why Gus likes the Guptas.
He'll take
the rest if he has to. Why does Silver Angel like the Guptas so much?
Theoretically, they've given him a great, they let him live in their basement and be their dishwasher.
What a great yeah. Has Silver Angel ever heard done any reading on a guy named Nat Turner? Has he ever come up?
The Silver Angel, he is saying, you know, hey, they got to get out of here. And Gus is like, you know, the Guptas, they're like, hey, you know what? There's a quarantine. How are we going to get out of here? And Gus is like, my people, you know, been crossing borders for a long time.
Since Toronto was Montreal.
All right. And yeah, where they filmed this
something
in
like
Toronto.
That.
And so my thought was, of course, Trump hates this storyline. I'm going to build a fence to prevent people from the quarantine to getting out of here, coming here and raping and killing.
The Strigoi.
And selling us drugs.
Someone is hurting the Strigoi. No, I...
Make Strigoi great again.
Someone has to, and I think Gus is the guy to do it. I really do.
You think Gus is the one to do it? Apparently, the ancient ones think Gus is to do it. Apparently,
everybody,
Quinlan Strabone thinks Gus.
Look,
what has Gus ever done that makes him so great?
Well, I couldn't tell you, but he does appear to be the strange Jon Snow. He's the future king. No spoilers here.
All right. But, so how about this? Is the strain going to give us quote unquote a happy storyline by allowing the Guptas to get out of town? I would actually, as crazy as it is, as we barely know the Guptas except their lovely daughter, I would actually be happy if somebody could get away from this show.
I think
the daughter wants Gus to go too, and we know that can't happen. In fact, Strabone says, "If you love," Strabone sings a Sting song. If you love someone, set them free.
A lot of people don't know this. You'll have to stick around for all of the credits, but Quinlan is actually played by Andy Summers from The Police. So, small known fact.
Right, and so Quinlan, I got to be honest. My favorite part of, I believe, last week's episode was when Quinlan went to town in that building that our boy Fett blew up, kind of haphazardly.
Sure.
That said, we kind of blew past it, but one of the things that that Palmer has to get done now in a week is whatever these buildings are for, they got to fix the building.
Chop, chop. Let's get to work.
And so, I know we've talked about this before, but what is the point of these buildings?
Well, it's part of, I think it's...
More loim?
Palmer is doing whatever it takes to prevent a presidential run by Donald Trump. So he's building all these buildings by himself.
Right.
He's going to do the wall by himself, and then Trump won't need to run, and then everybody's happy.
I've got the best plan for building buildings here.
People are going to build their own buildings with their own buildings, so they're built with their buildings.
All right, so Gus, who had been working with Strigoi Team 6, RIP, and working for the Ancient Ones, as he's making out with Gupta daughter, he gets called out by Quinlan, a.k.a. Strabone. And what is going on here? Why do people like Gus? And so Strabone has the same superpowers that you know who, poor man's Christoph Waltz, has, where he can dodge bullets. And why does he want Gus so bad? We know when he talked to the Ancient Ones, Strabone said, hey, I need warriors who can fight in the light.
Right.
What
happened to his chauffeur? His chauffeur.
Right, his sexy black chauffeur.
Yeah, I mean, she was lovely. I'd like to see more of her.
Right.
And, you know, maybe there's a little love triangle between her and Gus and Miss Gupta. I don't know.
Quinlan says...
Quinlan doesn't have enough time to hire his own HR department, right? You know, he's got to go by recommendations.
Quinlan said, he was like, you know, you made it out of Stoneheart Group alive. Yeah. The only one. Because he can survive UV light. It wasn't, right. You know, he really wasn't that great. And so I don't know how many episodes are in this year. This is episode 8. I think there are 12.
25 or 13, more to go.
So there are maybe 4 more.
25.
Something has to happen here. Something, for the love of God, something has to happen with Strabone, with Gus, with Silver Angel. They've got to get in the game. They are not doing anything worth it here.
Yeah, I think part of we just got to get everybody lined up. You know, we've some of these people have met. Gus has met our boys earlier, and you know, they haven't really teamed up. So let's just get everybody on the same page. Let's stop introducing completely new people and then shooting them right away, and then let's go to town, because there's a lot of interesting things in play,
right?
If we actually play with them.
All right. So one of the things that Strabone says is, he's like, you know, the master has a plan. You know, he took your mother. He took your best friend. He doesn't mention he took your brother. Apparently, right. Gus and the brother were never that close. But to me, honest, that felt very random. It didn't feel like, oh, this is the master's plan to get Gus. It felt like, here's some people I can turn.
Yeah, I mean, in the midst of this city of 8 million or 11 million people disintegrating, everyone knows a couple that got taken down. So, look, it seemed to work, though.
Oh, yeah.
So, hey, what do I know? I'm no Quinlan.
No. All right, so, Mork, it is time to get to our final storyline of the night. And it is what I would say the best storyline today, and believe it or not, it involves F. Now, F has a little side trip to Jimmy Woo's that may be very very pointless.
No. They needed,
So we saw that there was good... We saw there was some good heat at Palmer's penthouse.
Yes.
Because Coco walks around with nothing on. Delicious. Right. Mm-hmm. But who knew there was great heat in the Red Hook, because Nora has the covers off and she's got a very sexy, skimpy bedtime outfit.
She's in a kitten-like pose.
It's like she subconsciously knows that F strayed and has to tempt him back.
Oh, my goodness. Nora is too good for this.
And Nora is like,
she's a doctor for
God's
sake.
Hey, did you hear about Barnes? He fell off the train. The train you were on.
Yeah.
Did you see him? And why does F lie here, Mork? This makes no sense. Why not just say you knew that he was a villain, and so I tossed his ass?
Look, as my attorney tells me all the time, it's the cover-up, not the crime.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what he's really afraid is going to come to the fore.
What's that?
Is that his little rendezvous with pharmaceutical sales rep of the year, 1979.
Right, but she signed a non-disclosure.
All right, fair enough.
So, and she's dead. Her death signed a non-disclosure.
Yes, so NDA means no dick announcement. But so I think he's lying because he doesn't want it to go in that direction. Yeah, I think that's what he's
all
saying.
Right. So he found out from Fett.
So, lady listeners,
we are
anytime,
being very sexist. We
anytime a man lies about anything, it's because he's cheated on you. Just keep digging. Right. Just keep hacking away. You'll get to the truth.
Amen.
We're on your side.
So he found out from Fett where a guy will sell a sniper rifle because he wants to kill Palmer.
Sure.
And I would love that to happen, not because I hate Palmer so much, just because I want something to happen.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
And so, anywho, he decides
time out.
T.O.,
my friend.
On the star,
Dutch,
the 50-yard line.
Dutch is helping Nikki move. That's something happening.
Oh, boy. We that should be your skip scene, because the show found it just as interesting as the rest of us did.
No, I find... Look, you can skip any of my stuff anytime you like.
All right, so for some reason, I'm going to buy a sniper rifle. Let me take my son with me. Huh?
Sure, as cover.
Right. Well, it's sunlight, so maybe this is the time you could... Maybe, I don't know, I still think it's a bit questionable. But he decides to take his son with him, and his son, Zach, Zach 2.0 is telling about a dream he had of his mother, Kelly.
I mean, this...
How she looked great, and she woke him up, and she hugged him. Oh, man, it
favorite,
was so...
They made the favorite meal.
Right, I could
she
smell
bought
her
him,
hair.
She bought him his favorite coat off of from the Burlington Coat Factory. Zach looks like the smallest longshoreman I think I've ever
He's
seen.
He's got his pea coat on.
He's got his pea coat. He's got a little knit cap, you know? I mean, it's basic. He's like a
Or
young...
because they shoot this in Canada, should we say he's wearing his toque?
He's wearing his toque. He's a young Gene Kelly.
Take off, eh?
So back to Woo Marine Engineering.
Oh, my Lord. And
firearm, boat sales,
oh,
medical
Lord.
Supplies,
okay.
But no fresh produce.
So they're here, and they can tell something's the matter. They can smell something, and I thought, ooh, maybe in this warehouse there's a Sturgoy, because we know they smell.
Dead fish?
What if it's I-Corps?
Yeah.
Poor but no, they see blood. Then they see the person who we can only assume is Mrs. Wu or Miss Wu or unrelated friend come out, and there's blood on the floor. And Zach's 2.0 stepped it up here. He said, "My dad's a doctor."
He did.
And so sure enough, F decides to go help. And F is terrible even at helping.
Well, he's not a surgeon.
I'm not a surgeon.
He's not a surgeon. You know, but look, if you want a rifle...
Right. What drove me slightly crazy is F and our boy here, Jimmy Wu, they could have bonded. They've both been shot in the last 3 days.
Yeah, no, this... It feels like the only point of this whole scene was basically for Zach to be able to say, after they successfully
patched
the guy up,
yeah.
to say, oh, so you can fix mom too. And I, so I think there would have been maybe a little better ways to, you know, to get there. I do love the idea of some guys working on the black market being a bigger part of the show, but you know, we're only getting to them now.
Do you think, you know, Mark, everybody knows we're in Los Angeles. Do you think if we went down to Marina Del Rey and just went up to any boat dealer, we could get some good guns?
Cilantro?
I mean, guns. What do you think? Like Jimmy Woo.
Well, I gotta be honest. When I saw that
one
gun,
yeah.
You know, if Palmer is sort of, you know, waltzing through the forest, maybe maybe as a schoolboy, chasing Coco, then okay, that's the gun to use. But that did not seem like a gun, like a sniper rifle.
No.
So. maybe I just don't think Wu's selection is what it used to be.
Well, did you like Zach 2.0 being being in his residency here in pre-med of helping on Jimmy Wu's surgery?
I think he did a fair job. Between you and me, I'm pretty sure infection is going to set in, and we're not going to see much more of Mr. Wu. But
well, what if Mr. Wu becomes a reoccurring character?
I'm in.
He's like, you know, I'm here for my checkup. F, take me through physical therapy.
He should once a week. He should check in. I wouldn't mind actually. I would not mind a spinoff.
Yeah.
And actually, I hate to spoil it for everyone, but we have inside information that
we do.
There, in fact, will be a spinoff with Fett and Satrakian. And Jimmy Woo.
Right.
So we've got some tape of that. They sent us a pre-release review copy.
It's called Two and a Woo Man.
And we're gonna do a brief reenactment because
all right, let's
we're
do
under
let's
strict.
Do. Here we go. Here we go. Are you ready for this?
Get your head out of the bread truck and into the fire. And then out of the fire, and oh, hello, Jimmy, how are you?
I've been shot.
Oh, okay,
I've
sure.
Been shot.
Well, you know, you had a kid. You had a kid patch you up on your surgery, and that's why you're infected. So we had to do another surgery.
Another
with
surgery.
My man Fett here, who is a former architecture student.
Why is he wearing that badge?
Well, just in case. Architecture is one of the stricter art forms.
I feel like I need to pay you for doing this surgery. You can
you
can have anything you want.
Okay, thank you.
Why is Fett's head up my wife's skirt? Get your head out of my wife's
skirt! Get your head... Fett, he took it the wrong... Always, you know, Fett is he's a hunter, he's a gatherer, and scene. Okay, so
that's sure to be picked up.
It's definitely, you know what?
If they don't title it, like, the working title is Two and a Woo Man.
Two and a Woo Man.
But it might be, once it's officially picked up, it might be Fear the Strain.
Yeah, Fear the Got Your Milk of the Strain. they may be tooling with it a little bit, but that's basically what the show's
right.
Gonna
it
be.
Is a big tool. So yeah. We cut as the surgery on Jimmy Woo. God, mm-hmm. I hope he makes it through his surgery. Jeez, okay,
this is a quick surgery though.
While the surgery is happening, we go to the Councilwoman Ferraro.
Yeah.
Is now trying to get Red Hook Brooklyn safe.
Red Hook
and
is
so we
safe.
Go to the checkpoint here. And so Kelly is driving a car. Now, what do we know about this, though? It is sunlight. Kelly is, even though she's got makeup on, she is a Sturgoi. Does makeup prevent the UV lights in the sun hitting her through the windshield from burning up? What's going on here, Mark?
Well, she happens to be driving the new Chevy Cruze product placement.
Right.
And which, as we all know, has infrared blocking windows standard.
Oh, actually, Mark, that was the car in front of hers. She's actually driving a Toyota.
And also, a lot of people don't know this, but Toyota is buying Chevrolet.
Oh, that'd be
so
great.
So it's all one
so
company.
She is now looking like the mother formerly known as Lovely Kelly. And this actress, Natalie Brown, so lovely. She can wear a turtleneck. She has got sunlight hitting her, or maybe not directly hitting her, so that's why she's okay. This is so crazy. But she's got a Sturgoi in her trunk. She doesn't have junk in her trunk. She's got a Sturgoi in her trunk.
Ugh.
And she allows...
Happens to a lot of married women in their...
Right. Once they hit Sturgoropause, they... So the one thing, I keep asking for it. I'm like, well, why aren't there UV lights at this checkpoint? And sure enough, there's a UV light coming. And right then, this had to be a smart approach in that they have Kelly there, and then they had Kelly followed by a car filled with Sturgoi that gets lit up and blown away.
Yeah, no, that was great.
But because they just wave her through, they didn't even check her trunk. And so we have some of those, I believe they're called the feelers, the blind kids who were in the loin.
Yeah, the gremlins.
Right. I like the name gremlins better, too.
Yeah, let's do that.
And so
get some water on
she's
them.
She's covered them with what I assume is Zach's clothes so they get the scent. And she's going to send them out to get her kid.
Yeah. It's a good plan.
It's a great plan.
All around. I notice, is this...
Yeah.
Is Kelly wearing, is this how she dressed before she became Sturgoi?
No, she wore...
She was a little more more modern.
Well, you got to remember, she was trying to tempt Matt from Sears back when we first met her. So she was kind of, showing a little skin as opposed to here all covered up because it's cold.
Well, it is cold, but Sears is heated.
That's a good point. Let me say that it looks like she got this turtleneck from Sears.
Yeah, it does.
And so, sure enough, the surgery is successful. They get the gun. Zach asks his father, so why'd you get the gun? Now, how much can you tell your son? You can tell your son, hey, your mom's dead. She's turned into a monster. But you can't tell him, I'm getting it to kill the monsters. Why not just say to that?
Yeah, this is one of the things that's sort of confusing because F, with his drinking, has basically, to in one key regard, has sort of said, F you, pun is not intended, but it's right there.
It is intended, yeah.
So, F you world, I'm drinking,
right.
On the one hand. But then on the other hand, he, tries to really protect Zach from certain things. And it feels a little inconsistent to
it
me.
It does. I think tough love is, which admittedly he has been doing, and Nora has called him on his flip-flopping.
Yeah.
But somehow, these people, they just drive me crazy. They know when the sun sets, but somehow Zach and F don't get back, don't get into the safe house until after dark. Oh, right. What the blank. This makes
no
sense.
Well, it's tricky to get around, and sometimes You know, they, if they want to go to the White Castle, they really like on the way home. They have to take the long way. So,
well, they ordered some food at the Teodori Palace, and we know how it's a slow burn
it's a
there.
Slow. And, well, look, they don't want to pay the $50 delivery fee, so they prefer to just go straight in.
All right. So then, Mork, let's get to it. Let's get to the final scene, our best scene of the night.
Let's do it.
And it's tense, but it begins with our kind of
We've removed everybody. Right. So we know.
We actually skip Coco leaving Palmer's bed because he's not kind to her at the end. That is the scene at the end that probably is the most damning.
That is, if there's any one scene that really damns Palmer to a lonely, lonely, painful death, I think it's that one. Yeah, no, I'm anxious to see where she turns up. Coco.
F won't even tell Nora why he got... Well, maybe because Zach is there. He won't tell Nora why he got the gun. Zach, instead of going to his room, he's got the whole kind of ground floor of the warehouse to himself, so he's going to play some Game Boy, have some fun. And so F and Nora go upstairs to their room.
Mm.
And F, it didn't make any sense when he slept with a pharmaceutical rep, and now for some reason he comes clean, or Nora's spidey senses tells, like you were saying, when your man is hesitant to tell you anything, it's because he cheated on you with a pharmaceutical rep.
Yeah, so
in
ladies,
DC.
Here's another tip. If you say you get like one of those dresses, they call them, and you put it on and you ask your significant other, your significant male other, if that's your thing, how do I look? Do I look good in this dress? Now, he may hesitate because...
Right.
You may think he's hesitating because, well, maybe he doesn't like the dress. Maybe he doesn't like the color with your skin tone.
Right.
Any sort of reason. But what he's really saying is, I'm cheating on you.
I'm cheating on you. So the one positive thing I liked about that scene is that Nora and F are sitting on the bed, and you see through that, those glass cubes behind him, you see Kelly. Oh, my God.
That was a gremlin.
No, I think it was Kelly. Kelly can climb because you later see her drop, and she drops down in front of a window right where she can see in Zach 2.0.
I thought she had the gremlins doing a little recon for her while she was staring at her child for some reason that makes sense to everybody but me.
All right, so let's reenact probably the tensest part of this scene.
Okay.
Where Nora uses her spidey senses to tell that F is cheating on her. So I'll be F, and you can be the person who's not F. So you ready? Here we go. So if we cut back to the bedroom, and it is filled with tension.
Yeah.
And F is like, listen to me. All right, you want to know what happened in D.C.? Fine. Let's start with the train. I saw Barnes.
I don't even know what a train is.
All right, so a train is a...
I don't even know what a train is.
A train, Nora, is a... They don't have it, down in Argentina where you sing on the roofs.
No.
A train is a mass public transportation thing where it arrives along two rails and you get in and it can go one way.
Is there a third rail?
Here, let me bring out the board game Ticket to Ride.
Oh, I love that game.
On this train, I killed Barnes.
Who's Barnes?
He was our boss, remember, at the CDC.
All I remember is putting in a requisition form for a refrigerator to chill all of those cartons of milk we'd have to bring with us.
All right, so listen, Nora. When I was in D.C., I got four people killed. So the first was Barnes. You know him.
My mother's gotten several people killed all by
Nora,
herself.
Nora, you're becoming a bit like your mom.
Oh, why? Do I need to have a cigarette to calm down? Where's your son?
Listen, you want to know that you didn't even ask about the three other people who were killed.
Well, look, I've never been to D.C. and my
Listen, Barnes was killed. Then guess who else was killed?
Pete Rose.
Close. But Rob. Remember Rob?
No. Yes, I remember Rob.
I told you I was going to see... Nora, I told you.
Yes, you did tell me you're going to go see your
then
friend
the
Rob.
Person who was trying to kill us... I killed him. That's a third person.
Can't we go back to your wife's bedroom and make sweet love?
Nora, not anymore. I have to tell you the fourth person, because you keep asking me about the fourth person who was killed.
No, I haven't asked at all.
You have been asking.
Haven't asked
You
once.
Keep saying who's been killed.
My mother would have asked.
Listen, Nora's mom, it was Lee Thomas. Lee Thomas also, I got her killed too.
Oh, well, she probably deserved it. She was one of those shifty pharmaceutical reps.
Yes,
I got one word for you.
What?
Olestra.
What is that, a butter substitute? What is Alestra?
Basically, yeah.
Okay, so...
It killed my mother.
It killed your mother.
It didn't kill her, but it gave her a desire to smoke.
Nora, listen.
I'm listening.
Lee Thomas bled to death in my arms.
Oh, okay. All right. We guys, did you happen to get shot in a bedroom for some reason?
Yeah, we were in a bedroom when she was shot in my arms, but...
No, that's not weird.
It's not... No, listen to me. It's a woman. I was in a bedroom with a woman who wasn't you, Nora. She was shot and bled out in my arms.
Sure, but there were other corpses in the room, right? My mother told me, anytime a man is alone in a room with a woman and at least one other corpse, nothing bad can happen.
Listen, Nora, how do I explain this?
Yes, F.
She wasn't from Argentina.
What? Get out.
Wait, Nora!
Get out.
Nora, listen to me.
Get out.
She reminded me of Kelly. Nora! And see, that was, we'll have to edit that out. That was terrible.
That was amazing.
All right, so F, somehow Nora figured out that just because he was hesitant to say who the fourth person was.
Yeah.
Did you think that Nora really figured out that F fooled around? Or what do you think?
This is a mystery to me.
It's a mystery to a lot of us.
I appreciate, Natalie Brown. She's a handsome lady.
Sure.
But for me, Nora is she is the sweetest looking gal on this show. And F cheated on her with Lee Thomas. But it's like he crawls back into the bottle and into the hideout in Red Hook, yeah. and there's this gorgeous woman there who has feelings for him.
Tough luck.
He's giving her the stiff arm. I don't get it.
No, listen, women like guys who play hard to get.
Well, I suppose.
All right, so now downstairs is where the action happens.
Yes.
Nora knocks on the window, and Zach is like, Mom?
Kelly knocks on the window.
Sorry, Kelly knocks on the window. Yeah. Thank you very much.
It was weird when Kelly and Nora were both knocking the window at the same time.
Zach, don't let her in. Zach, it's me, Nora.
Open the door for me, but not for her. Your father locked me out again.
And now, were you shocked? I was a bit shocked that Zach took so long, that Zach was like, but you're sick. I can't let you in. I thought seeing his mom looking like this, he would have been like, let's roll. Because we know he loves his mom.
He does. He does. He wants her back. She wants him back.
She says she was sick,
yeah.
But she's getting better. Isn't that great? This is a great... You know Zach 2.0 is going to fall for it.
Well, I think Zach 2.0's subconscious is telling him is that your mother typically doesn't wear light blue turtlenecks.
Yes.
And she is here, so something's wrong.
So, comically, Zach is saying to his mom, I can't. And so, for some reason, F is like, did you hear something?
Yeah.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. His son's downstairs. Many people live there. It could be anything. But no, he's like, did you hear something? And so, but he does see his son about to open the door and let his mom in. This is, oh my God.
Fathers and sons.
And so he does it. And then luckily... Kelly comes in and she is about to tongue worm them both. Yeah. When
Nora,
the only one who makes sense, Nora comes and starts firing bullets. But because they've left the front door open, guess who else can sneak in?
Our favorite
it's the gremlins. I love your name for them. That is so good.
Now,
Kelly has scampered away. She can't be seen. But I love this. F, give Zach to me. You never wanted him anyway.
True.
Let's have Zach decide who he wants to be with.
Well, to be fair...
She is talking smack. I wonder who he'll choose.
It's pretty badass. To be fair, F didn't want Zach 1.0. Zach 2.0.
Yeah, he wants Zach.
He does want. So he's changed his
mind.
And
then
a
F, because he's not paying attention, the two gremlins sneak in totally while he's not looking.
Yes.
Now, why didn't the gremlins just attack F when they came in the door? He had his back to them. They could have just totally attacked him then.
I don't know, and that brings the big question of this scene, even though I really enjoyed it.
Oh, I did too.
But why is Kelly there? Is she there just to kill?
Right. Well, this is the question.
Zach and take him back to the hive, or what's the goal here? Or to kill F? Several opportunities to do that. They didn't take him.
This was incredible, though. When the one gremlin shot its tongue because it was underneath the stairs at Nora. Because they can't have her get Strigoid, moves her foot in time, And then it tongue worms out at F. F slices off the tongue, then tosses it onto... What the hell was that thing it taught? Pretty much it was a push pin.
A cactus,
basically. A giant rusty cactus
that they kept inside.
Now, there's one extra Stegoy in here. There's Kelly in here. But for some reason, like, I would be back to back. Whoa! Kelly falls down. She could have tongue-wormed on to F, but instead she falls on him. Then she could have tongue-wormed Nora, but instead she just knocks her down. Tongue-worms are only effective... So Nora is finally going to open up her mouth and tongue-worm F. But then
revenge for the honeymoon.
Nora throws the hook at her and hits her face and knocks off some of her face makeup.
Ugh.
You know, Zach sees that. Now, will you think Zach will still be freaked out by that? So, oh my God, this was the craziest thing here. So then F lays on the floor long enough for there to be that heart-to-heart moment between Kelly and Zach. Then he grabs a gun. He's about to shoot Kelly. And this is so great. When the other gremlin...
In the gremlin, line of fire,
in the
man.
Line of fire. They, yep. Who do you want to be your Secret Service agent but a formerly gremlin. Blind gremlin?
Yeah, a little gremlin. Sure.
So good. So for whatever reason... Now, Kelly theoretically has this super strength. For whatever reason, she decides to leave then. Couldn't she still fight?
Yeah, I don't know what they were going for.
I hate
for
picking
here.
Apart the scene because when you're watching it, it is thrilling. It's tense. It's what the show should be, what the show could be. Yeah. I always remember that a year ago there was a scene with Gus and Gus's friend and when they were both in the back of that police car. And his friend has been turned and his friend is about to have tongue worms.
Who also starred on True Detective this
That's
year.
That's right. He on True Detective. And so his friend... Gus is trapped there in the police car, handcuffed with his friend about to tongue worm him.
Yeah.
And how tense that scene could have been, and it wasn't. And we had somebody who wrote in who said, you know, the scene in the book was really tense.
Right.
If this scene is in the book, and maybe it is, I don't know, that's a tense scene. That's what we've always wanted. It leaves us on a high note going forward, don't you think?
That's exactly what we want to see. Give us tongue worms in confined places. And let's make everybody a little. I want to see six Stregoy in the back of red van.
Oh yeah,
and Satrakian is just telling them to sit in their seats, get their head out of their tongue worms, so they can focus. Yeah, no, I hope to see a lot of that. We're running out of. Maybe hopefully we're going to finish strong this year.
Really
we'll,
strong.
We'll kill some good guys. We'll kill some bad guys. We'll push it forward. And we'll get on to the good stuff, because when they do it, it's a blast.
Right. When they finally allow us some fun, it is a fun show. This is what we want. But listeners, we want you to tell us, what do you want?
Yeah.
What do you want? You know?
Exactly.
We want to know what you want from The Strain. We are tough on parts, and we tell you the parts we love. Listeners, once again, we want you to tweet at us and tell us what you think. How can people... reach you on Twitter, Mork.
Hit me up at the Twitter, Extraordinary. That's Extraordinary with a W before the last R.
And you can reach me. My name's Bubba. You can reach me on Twitter at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter. Now, next week, Mork, next week is Labor Day weekend.
You bet
but
your
can
buns.
You believe it? They are going to have a brand new episode of The Strain on Sunday, Labor Day weekend.
Well, The Strain never rests.
No, the Stregoy never rests.
The Stregoy never rests.
The Stregoy never sleeps.
Quinlan's been wandering around. He's got things to do.
Okay, so next week is entitled The Battle for Red Hook.
Hmm.
So
it's another obscure, abstract title.
Well, intruders. We didn't know who the intruders would be.
Mm.
There were multiple intruders in this episode. We saw them intruding, multiple people intruding the Cardinals' residence. We see a lot of people invade.
PMTG in Palmer's place at the very beginning.
Right, we saw...
Coco into Palmer's bed intruding.
She was intruding, definitely.
Absolutely.
And we saw, of course, Kelly and the Gremlins intruders into... the Red Hook safe house.
Yeah.
So next week, the battle for Red Hook. The description is Justine takes drastic measures to counter a surprise invasion. Justine is, of course, Councilwoman Ferraro.
Oh, okay.
We see that Nora and Fett perform a useful mission. You know, they had to put it in the description. No.
Sexual situation.
They do have sexual situations, but when it says a useful mission, that really... that really separates it from so many of the missions here. And they also say that F and Satrakian face off against an old foe. Who do you think? Do you think that's Palmer?
I think it's each other.
Yeah.
I think they're finally going to fight.
Right.
Why won't you believe me?
I shaved my head for you, old man. It ain't coming back.
All right, so please, listeners, download the podcast, subscribe to us on iTunes, tell your friends, hashtag GotYourMilkPodcast so they can learn about it. And just like always, when you want to reach for your booze, but you shouldn't, when you wake up from after having a dream of your mom, mm-hmm. or you wake up in bed next to some dude 3 times your age,
yes,
you know what you need to drink to sober up.
Just make sure that you got your milk.
Stergoy.